Amen, amen. Good to be with you tonight. You guys can be seated. We're going to continue to worship. You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing.
Of the goodness of God. darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived,
yes,
in the goodness of our God all my life. All my life you have been faithful. God's not afraid of dirt, dirtiness, mess ups, mistakes. He's not afraid to come running after someone dirty like me. So tonight as we sing it, maybe there's someone in this room that feels like, he's good to them, but not for me. Well, the good news is our God is running after you. He's running after me. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what else to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you would be a God who would chase down no matter where I end up. Thank you, Lord. Your goodness is running after me right now. So would you stand with me? We got to sing that bridge one more time. Say it like this. Your goodness is running after, is running after. Oh, right now, Lord. Your goodness is running after.
Welcome, Christian Assembly. It's great to be with you. Good to worship with you. My name is Jill. I'm one of the community life pastors here at Christian Assembly. If you are new or visiting, we want to extend a very special welcome. We're so glad you're here. Maybe a neighbor invited you. Maybe you found us online or we're just walking past our church. But we are so, so glad that you are here. We have a new people's table out in the lobby with a free welcome gift. And we also have a connection card in your seat backs. You can fill that out as a way of letting us know that you're new and drop that in the offering bags when they come around in just a moment. And one of our pastors would love to follow up with you. And then as always, we want to say a special welcome to all those joining us online. So if you're with us online, welcome, and we're glad that you are here. We'll have a few announcements for us today. We are so excited for our upcoming Easter weekend services happening next weekend on March 30th. You can applaud that. On March 30th and 31st, we have plenty of different service times and service venues on our church campus available. You can see all the service times on the screen behind me. We want to remind you, if you have kids, we would love to ask that you would join us here in the South Sanctuary simply because all of our kids' church program is happening on this side of the street. And if you do not have kids, we would love to ask that you would join us on the north side of the street, across the street, at one of our north venues, either the North Sanctuary or our North Outdoor Tent venue. Just a reminder for parking here, for Easter weekend, we will have all of our regular parking options available, but one of the easiest ways to park and get here smoothly and easily is to park at the Eagle Rock, Target, Macy's Shopping Plaza down the street, and then hop on a very convenient shuttle that we will have there. We will have multiple shuttles running before and after our services. So if you want to take a shuttle to and from church, park down there and grab one of our shuttles and look for the shuttle signs. You can get info about all the parking options in your bulletin. And then as always, we want to encourage you to invite your friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, and guests to join us. We have Easter invites in the lobby that you can grab. We also want to remind you that we have a Good Friday service happening this upcoming Friday, March 29th. We have services at 5:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. It's happening right here in our South Sanctuary, and the service is just a chance to remember and reflect on Jesus's death and his great sacrifice for us. So we invite you to come join us for that. Childcare will not be provided, so you'll want to plan accordingly for that. Men, we want to invite you to join us for our upcoming men's gathering happening on Wednesday, April 10th. As always, it's going to be a great chance to connect with other men, worship God together, and be encouraged from God's word. And if you are a dad and you have students, you have boys who are either in middle school or high school, we encourage you to bring your sons with you because our CA students, middle schoolers and high schoolers, the boys will also be joining the men for men's gathering. So come check that out and stick around afterwards for coffee, pastries, and some time of connection. And then finally, we want to remind you that our marriage conference is coming up on April 12th and 13th. And the cost is $50 per couple. It includes continental breakfast and lunch. Childcare is not provided. And at the conference, it's going to be led by Lance and Jennifer All, who are a therapist and pastor couple. And they're going to be teaching skills about how to experience even greater joy in your marriage relationship. So you can sign up and get more information about that on our website. Well, now is the time in our service where we get to continue in our worship through the giving of tithes and offerings. As always, if you are new or visiting, please feel no obligation to give. In just a moment, we will pass the offering bags. And as always, you can give on then through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website. And to our Christian Assembly church family, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your ongoing giving and generosity. Would you join me as we pray together? And as we do pray, let me remind us what God's word says in Psalm 34:8. It says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." And so, God, we thank you for all the ways that we have tasted and seen your goodness in our lives, in our church, in this city, Lord. We thank you for all the ways that we will continue to taste and see your goodness. Thank you, God, for your generosity. Would you make us a people who are generous with all that you've entrusted to us, including the finances that you've blessed us with and given to us, Lord. And God, we pray especially for our upcoming Easter weekend services next weekend. God, would you fill this campus with people who are part of Christian Assembly and with people who have never stepped foot in a church and don't even know you yet, Lord. And God, we pray that you would bring men and women and children and families, and that you would bring so many people, that you would bring salvations, God, and that every person who's part of our Easter weekend services would experience the joy of just knowing what you've done for us, Jesus, and the joy of knowing you and trusting you. So God, we love you. We pray all this in your great name, Jesus. Amen. The ushers can come forward and you can turn your attention to the side screens.
Well, welcome to my CA family. It is good to be with you. If you're new or visiting, my name is Ralph, and I want to add my welcome to those you've already received. And I also want to welcome those who are watching us online, and I want to welcome those across the street watching us from the 1115 North service. We're so glad that you are joining us. Well, this weekend we celebrate Palm Sunday, which marks the beginning of Holy Week, which is the week before Easter. And I want to let you know that we put together a Holy Week reading plan that you can access. You can find that in your bulletin or on our website. I also want to let you know about our new sermon series that's going to be starting next week. It's going to be 8 weekends, and it's called Better Than We Had Hoped. How many of you want that? Something better than you had hoped. Encounters with Jesus after the resurrection. Beginning on Easter weekend, we're going to look at all of the encounters that Jesus had as he met with people and the challenges that they faced, their worries, their fears, their doubts, their disappointments, and how Jesus wants to still do that with you and with me today. So join us for that to understand and learn how Jesus can meet us in ways that are better than we had hoped. Invite a friend and join us. Well, speaking of friends, how many of you have friends and you like to go out with your friends? Does anybody like me like to go out with your friends? Maybe you're thinking about going out with some friends after service tonight. Well, one time my wife and I, we got invited to go out to dinner and some live theater out in Hollywood with some friends. And so as we were driving there, you know, like a lot of couples, we were chatting and I got a little bit distracted. I wasn't looking at my phone, but I was talking to my wife and I just was in another place. Well, we were coming from Santa Clarita, some of you might know this, and we were heading south towards Hollywood. And at one point, when you get to Sylmar, the freeway splits, the 5 and the 405. Well, I was on the wrong freeway. And I realized at the last second, I was going the wrong way. Now, the wise move, you know what the wise move would have been. Keep going, get off the freeway, get back on, and do this safely. Did I mention you had to be wise to do that? I thought I had enough time and I thought I had enough road to correct my error, but I didn't. As I tried to get over to the right freeway, I actually ran out of pavement when I got to the V, and it turned into dirt. And because I was trying to correct and my wheels were turned to the right, the back end of the car started to skid. So my wife and I are now skidding, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. It was like being on ice. You know, if any of you have ever driven on ice, because we were on a freeway, because we were going fast, what started as a skid turned into a spin. The car started spinning. And at that moment, I realized there's nothing more I can do. There's no remedy. There's nothing I know how to do as a driver to stop this car from spinning. I realized in that very frightful moment, I had a really big problem and the outcome was out of my control. Now, chances are that most of you are smarter than me and you haven't experienced this. But chances are that maybe you've experienced times in your life when it felt like things were spinning out of control. You and I have all faced problems, your own problems, or maybe someone you know, someone in your family, someone you're close to, and maybe it was just a matter of the problems that you see out in the world. Chances are that most of us at one time or another have thought this thought: this isn't how life is supposed to be. And today, I want you to see and be encouraged from the Palm Sunday story that if God can solve humanity's biggest problem, then he has the answers to the problems that you and I face in our lives. Before we dig into the scriptures, let's pray. Well, Father, today as we commemorate Palm Sunday, would you be glorified? Would the Holy Spirit breathe on your word? Would you breathe on me and give me peace? And would you be at work in the heart of every listener? Together we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Palm Sunday story, it actually starts out looking like an extremely shining moment for Jesus. But Jesus, he knew. He knew that this road would end at the cross. So let's look at Luke's account. And the scriptures will be on the screens behind me and in your bulletins. Luke 19, as he, Jesus, approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go ahead into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you're going to find a colt there, which no one's ever ridden. Untie it, bring it to me. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. I wanted to use the scripture because I wanted to make it crystal clear to you that riding into Jerusalem on that donkey was no accident. Jesus knew that the Jewish people suffering under Roman occupation were eagerly looking for a savior, the one foretold in the Old Testament passages, such as the one in Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. Rejoice. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's here. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and what? Mounted on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, so many times in the Gospels, we see Jesus telling his disciples, keep quiet about who I am. He would do a miracle. People would want to push him out front. He'd say, no, my hour hasn't come yet. So riding into Jerusalem on the donkey was this very public declaration of who he was, and his very public declaration that his time had indeed come. Moving on in the story, Luke 19:36, as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When they came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. On Palm Sunday, the crowds didn't miss it. They recognized that Jesus coming on a colt as a fulfillment of prophecy. But because of looking for a Messiah who would come to declare war between Israel and Rome, they miss that Jesus had come to do something greater, declare peace between God and man. Israel missed the bigger story, but I don't want you to miss this. The first point, Palm Sunday reveals that God may not always give you what you most desire, but he always gives what he knows you most need. Has the thing you most desired ever clouded your ability to see what God knew you most needed? I'm reminded of one of my favorite stories in the gospel of the four men. Some of you will know this story. The four men who have a paralyzed friend, and they carry him to see Jesus. They had heard Jesus was helping people walk and see and hear. But because the house was so crowded, they climb up on the roof. These guys were not going to be deterred. They climb on top of the roof. They tear through the roof. They lower him through the roof. And they set him at Jesus' feet. Now, you're probably like me and can imagine the commotion this would cause. And then the hushed crowd, the silence of the people wanting to see what's he going to do. Luke 5:20 tells us, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. So, wait. What? How anticlimactic is that? Let's be honest. Doesn't Jesus understand why the man was there? Did he miss that he was paralyzed? I'm sure the paralyzed man and his four friends were thinking, are you kidding me, Jesus? Do you know the trouble we went through to get here? Sins forgiven? What everyone there missed, and what you and I can miss, is that Jesus always knows our greatest need. Jesus knew that the paralyzed man's greatest need was not freedom from his mat, but freedom from his sins. On Palm Sunday, on the road to the cross, Jesus knew that humanity's greatest need was not to set right what happened in 63 BC when the Romans had conquered Israel, but to set right what happened in Genesis chapter 3 when the first human heart turned away from God. So before moving on in the Palm Sunday story, it's critical that we understand the enormity of our sin problem, your sin problem and mine. Because as theologian John Stott says, before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see the cross as something done by us. Genesis tells us that God created Adam and Eve in his likeness, in his image, placed them in a perfect environment, supplied their every need, and then handed them dominion over all of it. With one exception, don't eat the fruit from this tree. If you do, you're sure to die. Genesis 3:6 tells us what happened. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. They didn't immediately die physically, but death and decay instantly impacted their perfect lives and their perfect world. The rest of Genesis 3 reveals that in the immediate aftermath of their sin, Adam and Eve, they lost their peace. They lost their right relationship with God, themselves, and one another. It tells us they became slaves to the serpent, the father of lies, and in bondage to the power of sin. But it gets worse. Romans 5:12 tells us, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, and here's the worst part. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. This is known as imputation, because Adam and Eve were the first of us, mankind's representative. Their disobedience unleashed a ripple effect of sin that stretched beyond themselves to all of humanity across all of time. Every person, everyone born after Adam and Eve would be born with a sin nature, a tendency to sin with the same consequences, a loss of peace with God, ourselves, others, and subject to decay and death. This is humanity as we know it today. Why we see human beings at war with themselves. Well, how do you see that, Ralph? Well, shame, full of shame, fear, addiction, living beneath our God-given image-bearerness. We don't see that. And at war with one another, strife between the genders, the classes, the races, and the nations. Whether you believe the Bible or not, you have to know, you have to have a sense that the world that we live in is not as it should be. Sin is not something we like to talk about in our Western world. It can feel very offensive, not polite, and even sound judgmental. And aren't we as modern people past the idea of accusing people of being sinners? Some think sin is just those heinous acts and obvious acts done by others, but certainly not me. Or that sin is graded on a curve. But it's not. Let's look at what the Bible says has been true of all of us since Genesis chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Old Testament scripture. Here's one from the New. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious and perfect standard. When it comes to sin, we are all, every one of us, guilty as charged. But God. In Genesis 3:15, in a profound act of love and grace, in the midst of the disobedience, the darkness, and all the consequences for sin, God responds with the first preaching of the gospel when he promises to send a deliverer to conquer the one who conquered man. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman," he's talking to the serpent, "and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, but as he does that, you will strike his heel." God could have chosen any number of an infinite number of ways to solve the problem of sin. He could have. Even Jesus thought this and knew this when he was in the garden. He asked his father, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. I know what's ahead of me. Is there any other way?" But God chose the cross, which brings me to the next point. Nothing but the cross can solve humanity's sin problem. The first Adam in his garden chose disobedience to God's word, but Jesus, the second Adam, in his garden chose the cross when he said, "Nevertheless, your will and not mine." The hardest prayer any of us ever pray. Yes, nevertheless, your will and not mine. But listen, what Adam did in the garden, Jesus undid at the cross. Romans 5:19, it tells us, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, there were many sinners, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous." Remember imputation? Thankfully, it works both ways. Jesus went to the cross as our substitute, taking up and paying for our sins. And for those who put their faith in him, God imputes his perfect, sinless, righteous life to us. Listen to this incredible passage in Colossians about this. "He made peace with everything in heaven and earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body." And listen to this last phrase. "As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." Let that sink in, what that's telling you about yourself and what happened at the cross. Nothing but the cross. Nothing but the cross resolves our sin problem. But there's more good news. At the cross, Satan and evil were defeated and God's kingdom was restored. Colossians 1:13 tells us, "He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son." The cross not only made a restored relationship with God possible, but a restored kingdom as well. Now, some of you might be hearing this and thinking, well, because I'm like this when I read the Bible. If Jesus defeated Satan and evil and restored his kingdom, then why does the world still look so messed up? Why do things in my life still look so messed up? Why am I still so messed up? Those are great questions. Jesus gives us the answer in Mark's gospel. Mark 4, the kingdom he's talking about, "It is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds on earth, yet when it's planted, it grows and grows and grows over time and more growth, and it becomes the largest of all garden plants." God's kingdom only grows as often as we exercise our kingdom authority. I love that video we saw. That woman, that young woman who handed the other woman a Bible. Kingdom authority she was exercising. Ephesians 1:22, and God placed all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church. When we put our faith in Christ, we're made part of his body, the church, and called to grow his kingdom by taking back ground. So what does that look like? What does taking back ground look like? We saw an example in the video. But what about some other things that CA's done and you've been a part of in our kingdom efforts? Hospital in Kenya, gospel preached in Tanzania and Europe, clean water and Bibles for the Philippines and South America, disaster relief for Ukraine and Turkey, serving the poor in the dumps in Mexico, outreaches to students through Young Life, Kids Hope, Fly Club, too many things to name. But these are examples of exercising kingdom authority to restore those things that are not as they should be. But it isn't just CA, and it shouldn't just be CA that takes back ground. You and I are called to do the same thing in the places where we live. One of the best ways to start taking back ground is praying, not complaining. Praying, not complaining. For those things that aren't as they should be. But prayer isn't the only way. Every time we share the gospel, invite someone to church, respond with love and not hate, forgiveness, not anger, give a stranger or the least or the lost a cup of water, we are taking back ground. We are growing God's kingdom of light. We are repelling darkness. I'm reminded of my friend Mario, who stepped out in faith recently to lead one of our men's 8-week life groups. He told me, God has used me in this group to minister to my siblings. He's in his 60s, my grown siblings and my grown children. They're coming to Christ. He said now he realizes that his life and his influence matter more than he could have ever imagined. This is taking back ground. It's drawing a line in the sand against evil and Satan in those places that you see and where you live with this attitude that says, not on my watch, not on my watch, not in my family, my school, my workplace, my church, not on my watch. You and I may not win all of those battles that we face. We may not win every battle. But I will tell you, I guarantee you, you will lose 100% of the battles that you choose not to fight. Those cheers for Jesus on Palm Sunday turned to jeers on the cross a few days later. But you and I need to know that the cross was no accident. Which brings me to my final point. Because of God's great love for sinners, the cross happened exactly as he planned. Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. From that first sin in Genesis, God's plan, his rescue plan, was for the cross. A Bible without a cross is a problem without a solution. God's plan for the cross, it is remarkable. It is remarkable that God did that for us. But what I find just as remarkable is the road getting there. I'm not talking about the Palm Sunday road. I'm talking about the road that began all the way back in Genesis 3. Expulsion from the garden, Cain killing Abel, the flood, the Tower of Babel, the splitting of the languages. Israel's very flawed patriarch, slavery in Egypt, the Exodus, 40 years in the desert. Does any of this sound perfect? The promised land, idolatry, the imperfection of Israel's judges and their kings. The divided kingdom, the unbridled idolatry by the people of God, captivity by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. They killed God's prophets, and then the conquest by the Romans. It is remarkable that we got to Palm Sunday and then the cross through all of that. When you consider all this, God's ability to bring his plans to pass, we're left really with only awe at who God is. Psalm 33:11 says, "The plans of the Lord," this is such good news for you and me, "they stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations." Jesus himself tells us why God was so committed to this plan of the cross in the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Why did the cross happen? Because God is committed to you. God is committed to me. God loves you. Deeply, God loves you. The cross shows us God's faithful, forgiving, waymaker, freedom winning, whatever it takes for whoever believes kind of love. The cross reminds us that after the first human heart disobeyed God, he did not abandon humanity. He ran towards it. "Adam, where are you?" He knew. He knew there was a sin. He knew he was hiding. He ran towards man, towards humanity. And God gave us the cross for us to now run to him. Alex, would you come join me? As we close our time, we are one in Christ, the family of God, the church of Jesus Christ. But I know our journeys are not all the same. Maybe you're someone in the season of life where certain things aren't as you know they should be. They're spinning out of control. I want to point you back to the cross and encourage you to consider stepping into your kingdom authority to take back ground. Maybe it's praying again for that thing for which you stopped praying. Maybe it's joining a group so you can have other believers around you that can help you and support you and hold your arms up when you get weary. Maybe you're here and you're just tired. You're just spent. You've become discouraged and weary from a battle that's just gone on way too long. You feel like God doesn't see you, God doesn't hear you, God doesn't know where you are. I want to point you back to the cross to encourage you that if God has the solution to our biggest problem, he certainly has the solution to the battles and the problems that you and I face. And maybe you're someone who's sitting here and you're thinking, "Ralph, I've made a lot of mistakes." Well, you know, join the club. We have all made mistakes. "I've lived too carnal a life for God to love me or to accomplish his good plans for me." If that's you, if you're struggling with a sin, confess, run back to God. John 1:9, he's faithful and just when we do that. He's so good. He's so, so good. God is faithful to forgive and listen to this great promise to those who come to him with their sins. Romans 8:28, love this passage. Many of you will know it. "We know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." God can work it out. A friend once told me, "Ralph, I know you've done a lot of stupid things, but when God made you, he took your stupidity into account." Thank you. Maybe you're someone listening and thinking, this just sounds too good to be true. Can it really be? I want to point you to the cross too. Look at this promise to those who go to the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved, so many of us, we know it is the very power of God. It's true. The cross is God's answer for our less than perfect lives to save each and every one of us from every sin. Let today be the day that you go to the cross to meet Jesus if you haven't done that before. Come and join the rest of us who are here and have already had that day in our lives. When I close our time in just a minute, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if that's you, if you don't know Jesus, pray with me and then let somebody know, today I came to Jesus. Before I pray, I want to finish the spinning car story. As my car started spinning, I knew I had lost control. In that same instant, the Holy Spirit gave me a prayer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. True. That was my prayer. Nothing but Jesus. The car spun across four lanes, flipped over onto the roof. I was never hit by another car or truck. Came to a stop, completely disoriented, airbags in our faces, Jana and I hanging upside down, held into our seats by our seatbelts, and walked away without a scratch. Like everyone hearing my voice, we started helpless and hopeless, but then nothing but Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you went there for us. Thank you for your love and your goodness to your people, to sinners. Lord, I want to pray for those who are hearing this and they're right now, they're in circumstances where they feel like their life is spinning out of control. God, I pray for them in Jesus' name. That God, you would bring peace that surpasses the spinning. God, you've got the answers they need. Lord, I pray for those who are tired and discouraged from the long battle. God, would you encourage them by the power of your Spirit? Would they look to the cross? Help them to see that at the cross, Jesus took on our suffering for us. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy, Lord, for them to endure. And Lord, for those who are hearing me and they're feeling like God can't possibly love me, God, would you let them know your deep, deep love for them? Let them know, Lord, you are for them and not against. And Father, lastly, for those, maybe you've never made a decision to go to the cross to meet Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. As a matter of fact, let's all pray it together. Father God, thank you for the cross. I bring you my sins and now receive your righteousness in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you made a decision for Jesus, a first-time decision, let somebody know. Tell one of our pastors, tell the person you came with, tell someone, rejoice and say, I met Jesus on Palm Sunday weekend. Amen.